What a great song, The Lion and the Lamb. I feel I've been singing this song for a long time and was quite surprised to learn that it had only been released in 2016. Our God is the Lion of Judah. Our God is a Lamb who was slain. The writers had obviously been reading Revelation 5 when they wrote this song. The Lion and the Lamb are two ways of seeing a person we meet in Revelation chapter 5, the Lord Jesus. Jesus is both the Lion and the Lamb. Jesus is the Lion, a symbol of power and of royalty and strength. But at the same time, Jesus is a Lamb, a symbol of sacrifice, slain like a Passover lamb. A symbol of strength on the one hand and a symbol of sacrifice on the other hand. It's the same sort of symbolism that C.S. Lewis brought together in Aslan, his lion, in the Narnia stories. And it's a great song to sing in Advent because it reminds us that when Christ returns, every knee will bow before him. When Christ, the resurrected lion, roars, everyone will bow. The lion is formidable. The lion is majestic. So let's not fall into the trap of thinking our lion is something domestic, something safe. Dorothy L. Sayers, the author, once said this, that we have efficiently pared the claws of the Lion of Judah and turned him into a fitting household pet for pale curates and pious old ladies. You know, what she's saying there is we've taken the strength out of the claws of the lion and made him into something that's just safe and domestic. St. Augustine, on the other hand, in a sermon on Christ's death and resurrection, said this, that Christ endured death as a lamb and he devoured death like a lion. So let's look at what's going on in Revelation 5. I hope what I say helps you not only understand Revelation 5 a bit more, but helps you appreciate singing this song even more. Now, you may know that Revelation, the book of Revelation, that last book in the Bible, is a series of visions that's given to John the Apostle near the end of the first century. And by that time, the early church, the early Christians, are struggling. They're under a lot of pressure. They're being persecuted. There's temptation to moral compromise from their leaders, and there's false teaching that's being taught. And Christians are under immense pressure to give up their new faith in the Lord Jesus. So these visions of Revelation are given to encourage the Christians to realize that God is in charge of the universe, and they should stay faithful to their God and not give in to the pressure to give up. Chapter 5, our chapter for today, is part of two chapters where the vision is in heaven. It's a majestic divine vision. Chapter 4, John sees a vision of God sitting on his throne being worshipped. And for a struggling church, for struggling Christians, this vision of God reminds them that God is at the center of everything. God is powerful. And he can be trusted even though they are feeling persecuted and under pressure. That vision of chapter 4 of God then moves to chapter 5, where we meet this person who is the Lion and the Lamb. So let's have a look at what's going on in chapter 5. The first four verses are what I've called the problem of the scroll. Have a look at how chapter 5 begins. Then I saw, the I is John, then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, "Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?" But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll and even look inside it. So John sees God the Father sitting on his heavenly throne holding this sealed scroll. What is this seven-sealed scroll with writing on both sides? Well, later in Revelation, we learn that this scroll contains the story of the world. It tells the story of both past and future, and it tells the story of God and his people and their fight with Satan, with the Antichrist, with the devil. And it what John and every Christian wants to know is, how does the story go? Is there hope? Will the people of God overcome the evil one? But at this stage, the scroll is sealed. Now, it's sealed with seven seals. We find in Revelation that seven is the number of completion, of number of perfection. Think of the 7 days of creation. So this scroll, which is sealed with seven seals, is the perfect scroll. It tells the perfect story. And because it's sealed, it shows that it can't be altered. This is the truth. Now, the problem is that the scroll can only be unsealed by someone who is worthy. That's what they're looking for in heaven. Who is worthy to open the scroll? Obviously, the mighty angel is not worthy, neither is John himself, nor are any of the living creatures or the elders who are surrounding God's throne. In fact, there's no one in heaven or earth who is worthy to open the scroll. This is the great problem. And so you see in verse 4 that John weeps. He weeps and he weeps because he wants to know, will God's people be okay? What does the future look like? Are we always going to be persecuted and end up at the bottom of the heap? What hope do we have? And he weeps because no one can tell him the answer. Then we come to the next section, verses 5 to 8, where we meet the lion and the lamb. One of the 24 elders speaks, and these 24 elders represent God's redeemed people from the Old Testament and the New Testament. 24 is two lots of 12, so think about this: these elders in heaven representing the 12 tribes of Israel from the Old Testament and the 12 apostles from the New Testament. And this elder, one of the 24, speaks and says, we have found somebody who is worthy to open the scroll, and you can stop weeping. And the worthy one is called the Lion of the tribe of Judah in verse 5. Now, this is a reference to the long-awaited Messiah, someone who's coming from the tribe of Judah, the house of David, someone God has promised would come and lead his people. Notice, however, it says that the lion has triumphed, past tense. He's done something in the past that has changed everything. He's fought and won some battle in the past. And this is what makes him worthy to open the scroll, because in some way he's already overcome God's enemies. We're not told when he did this or how he did this. But for now, there is hope for John and the early church. The lion has overcome, and so maybe they too can overcome. They're not on their own. But then comes a twist. The elder said he'd seen a lion, but then John says he sees a lamb. Look with me in verse 6. Then I saw a lamb, looking as if it had been slain, standing in the centre before the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. The lamb had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent into all the earth. So what John sees is no powerful, conquering lion. What he sees is a mortally wounded lamb. And what we start to understand is that the lion and the lamb are the same person, like two sides of the same coin. The Lion of Judah, the triumphant one, the one who's triumphed in the past, is at the same time a slain lamb. It's difficult to comprehend. And so this lamb who is slain, who's been wounded, he stands at the center of heaven in God's presence, and he's got these horns, seven horns. Now again, seven is the symbol of completion or perfection, and a horn is a sign of power. So he is perfectly, completely powerful. He has divine power. And he has seven eyes symbolizing complete knowledge, divine knowledge. And this power and this knowledge then are taken into the earth by the seven spirits of God. Not seven different spirits. This seven spirit is a way of talking about the perfect spirit, the complete spirit. It's a symbolic way of talking about God's spirit, the Holy Spirit. So the lamb who is slain is knowledgeable, perfect knowledge, powerful, and his knowledge and power, his omniscience and omnipresence are then taken to the entire earth by God's perfect spirit, the Holy Spirit. So when you add all that up, I know it's a lot to take in, ironically, this lamb who is slain, who is wounded, whose blood is dripping, this lamb is actually incredibly powerful. And so we learn that the lion and the lamb are symbols of Jesus, ways of understanding who Jesus is and what he has done. He is the long-awaited Messiah from the tribe of Judah, from the house of David. And at the same time, he is the lamb sacrificed like a Passover lamb to save and protect the church, protect us, protect John, who is seeing this vision. Now, the fact that he looks like he's been slain is a reference to the cross. This is where the lion triumphed, on the cross. That's where the battle took place. And it's where he overcame and where he became worthy to open the scroll. It's back in the past when his blood was shed on the cross. The lion triumphed, ironically, by dying like a slain lamb. Now, no one else in heaven or earth could do this. Only Jesus, the lamb who was slain. The triumphant lion figure, symbol, recedes now as the dominant image of Christ becomes the lamb. And from here to the end of Revelation, that will be the dominant figure of Christ. It is the death of Christ as the sacrificial lamb that then stimulates the songs of praise and worship that take up the rest of this chapter. So what we learn here is that the key to unlocking the history, the story of God and the universe, that key that in a sense unlocks all these seals on the scroll, that has already happened in the past. And the key is the death of Christ. It's at the cross that Christ defeats all God's enemies. And because of the cross, men and women today know that God will overcome all the present evil in the world and all the future evil. All that evil that the early church was experiencing, this vision says Christ has overcome that. All the evil we are experiencing, this vision tells us Christ will overcome that. And God's people then are called to stay faithful, not to give in to the pressure to compromise or to wander away from the faith, not to be taken away by the temptations of life or to become cynical or to become desperate, but to keep our vision focused on the lion and the Lamb who triumphed through the cross. It's no wonder then that all of heaven and earth begin to sing the praises of this Lamb, this Lion. So the last part of the chapter I've called the Songs of Heaven and Earth, and they go from verses 9 to 14. Technically, there are three different songs or three different vocalizations of praise and worship, but I want to treat them like one choir that just sings in different choruses, so to speak. So the first song is the Song of the 24 Elders from verses 9 to 10. The second song is the Song of the Angels from verses 11 to 12. And then the third song is the Song of Creation in verse 13. Now, I think from what I've said so far, you've got the drift of what these songs mean. So I don't want to speak about them in any great detail. But just let me summarize what we've learnt so far. The reason that all of heaven and earth sings is because of Jesus' death on the cross. It's Jesus' death that overcomes, that unlocks the scroll, that gives us hope. It's Jesus' death in the past and by implication the resurrection that guarantees the future. It is Jesus' death that makes him worthy of our praise. Now, what I'd like you to do, I know this might feel a bit strange if you're sitting at home by yourself or in your lounge room or something, what I'd just like you to do is speak out loud the words that are in bold, that are straight out of Revelation chapter 5. These are the words of praise that come from the lips of the elders and all of heaven and even of creation. So I will lead us in, and you just, you know, if you want to stand, I find this pretty rousing. But just speak out these words. So from verse 9, "And they sang a new song, saying, You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God members of every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on earth. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they were saying, Worthy is the Lamb who was slain, to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honour and glory and praise. Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honour and glory and power for ever and ever. The four living creatures said, Amen. And the elders fell down and worshipped." It's a wonderful vision, isn't it? In heaven, all of heaven and earth worships the Lion who became our Lamb. Let me conclude by looking at how this chapter 5, moves from weeping to worship. You'll remember back at the early part of the chapter, John weeps. And he weeps because no one worthy can be found to unlock the scroll. And if the scroll is not opened, God's plan would not be put into action. It's a bit like a will. You have to open the will and read it so the executor knows what to do. And we're meant to put ourselves in John's shoes at this moment when he's weeping. We're meant to feel the peril that we are in if there is no one worthy to execute God's plan. Christians then and now live as a minority in a hostile world. The powers of evil are real. Persecution, moral compromise, temptation, they're all around us. We see that all the time. And if we have no one to help us, no one who can overcome these hostile forces, then yes, we would weep with despair. We would ask God, how long must we live like this? Is there no hope? And it's the death of Christ that changes everything. It's on the cross that the Lamb triumphs and becomes worthy to open the scroll. And that's what gives us hope and allows us to sing these songs of praise and worship, these songs of victory. And so our weeping turns to worship. We've not been left on our own. This Christmas, let us join with all of heaven and earth in singing praise to our Lord. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honour and glory and power forever and ever. Our God is the Lion of Judah. Our God is the Lamb who was slain, and every knee will bow.